Dragi prieteni, sunt bucuros să vă salut. Sunt pastorul lui Jimmy Tsoi de la Biserica Betania din Chicago și vreau să vă mulțumesc că aveți interes pentru slujirea de la Biserica Betania. Rămâneți cu noi, închinați-vă lui Dumnezeu și El să ne binecuvinteze pe toți.
Dear brothers and sisters, like in the moments we have to take the time and look in the Word of God and get advice from the Word of God for us tonight. Therefore, I would like you to invite you to open your Bibles to the epistle of Paul written to Titus, and we'll read from chapter 2, starting verse 6 to 8. I'd like to repeat this. The epistle of Paul written to Titus. We'll start from chapter 2, from verses 6 to 8. I'd like you to invite you to stand so we can read the Word of God. The translation I'm reading, it's a Living Translation for those who want to follow. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely in all they do. And you yourself must be an example to them by doing good deeds of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Let your teaching be so correct that it can be criticized. Then those who want to argue will be ashamed because they won't have anything bad to say about us. Amen. I'll invite you to sit down. We are people in different aspects of our lives, each time and in each season of our lives. When we start as a child, like the one we just listened before, when he declaimed a poem for us tonight, or we can grow up, we have models and examples we like to follow. We like to have peoples which will inspire us to do something so we can be worthy of trust or have success in life. When we grow up, we go to a college or to a high school or to a university where people in that school become famous. When we go to work, we like to apply different patterns or methods so we can be successful. When we come in church, we like to look in the Word of God, the only one who can give us an example of how to follow Christ and to get where we wanted to get in life. So that's why tonight I would like together to look in the book, in the letter which was written by Paul to Titus, a young man, so we can understand as an example. Because most of the times we are tempted in the outside world, even at school or work, or in our circle of social life, to look at different or wrong examples. But tonight we'd like to look and find out in the first part, who is Titus? What's his name? What does it mean for us? Why Paul is written to this guy, to this young person, and what we can learn based on what he teaches. Titus was a Greek, a Gentile. And that's why we read about the epistle of Paul, because Paul was a name was given to him from the Gentiles, and Saul as a Jew. The Bible says, and the people who are the ones who are searching the Bible to find out the connection, if you want, between these two, is that Titus was a young man and was one of the first fruits of Paul by preaching the gospel in that part of the world. Paul, after he founds him and he changes life and give him to God, is the one who teaches him how to trust God and what to do with his life. And the reason why he is in this book is because he is left there in Crete, an island closer to Greece, were to teach the people and help them. And we can read that in the first chapter, verse 5. I left you on the island of Crete so you could complete our work. There, and I appoint you to appoint elders in each town as I indicated or instructed you. And then he starts giving him the teaching or the rules which he has to obey. Do you know in Greek, his name Titus means nurse, a person who has the ability to help others, to make them better, to give them treatment so they can get better from a disease or illness or a different area. And when I thought about it, I said, how wonderful God knows to work for people, to make them understand, or the connection between the two of them. Paul, the apostle, sends Titus to be a nurse for the people on the island of Crete, to tell them what they need to do. What I like about it is, even though he is young, Paul invests in him, and he takes a step. He takes a step and he goes into the people of island of Crete and teaches them. In chapter 2, from what we read tonight, we can see that he starts to give instruction to the elderly people, to the men which was older than him, but they were to be worth of praise and respect. And then to the elderly woman, to the ladies and to the young men. One of the things which he says, and in the New Living Translation, which I really liked about it, the way that it's translated from Greek is, I advise the young men to be self-controlled. This is a word used here for us in tonight, is live wisely in all they do, or sober-minded. And I look, of course, in the dictionary, the Webster dictionary, the one which is recognized by the American society in its use in most of the times. And self-control means restraint exercised over one's own impulses, emotions, or desires. In other words, it's for us to be self-controlled, meaning to know what kind of decision to take, what kind of examples to follow, how to act in life. But this is not based on somebody else, it's on us. We have to control our impulses, our desires, our decisions, based on each time when we do something which will affect us lately. And let's look in the Bible, because in the book, this wonderful book, our Bible, give us examples of people which they proved they are the ones who have self-control about themselves. The first reference in the scripture which we'd like to read tonight is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 35. And here the Bible says about the faithfulness of Rechabites. There were a group of young people there, and they were invited to the temple, and they were tested. And they proved to the people who test them, they were worthy to keep self-control, or sober-minded, if you like, or to live as an example for others. Let's start and read from verse 5, and we'll see this. I set cups and jugs of wine before them, and I invited them to have a drink, but they refused. No, they said, we don't drink wine because Jehonadab, son of Rechab, our ancestor, give us this command: you and your descendants must never drink wine, and do not build houses or plant crops or vineyards, but always live in tents. This young people, even though their dad was passed away, died, they were invited, if you read home in this whole chapter 35 in the book of Jeremiah, you'll find out they were tested, they were invited to the temple there, and they were put for them glasses of wine to drink. And maybe for some of them, they could have said between each other when they were invited to go there on the road, now our dad is no longer with us. Finally, we are free. Finally, we can take or make ourselves decisions about what we want to do and how we want to do it. Now it's the time to taste, to see a different face, if you want, of the coin. But they got there, and when the people, the servants, give them wine to drink, they said, no. Our father told us not to do this. And by this, we're going to prove they were self-controlled. Of course, if I'm just going to give you this example, I'm not going to bring for you a practical point of view. We're not going to be no point of interest for you tonight as the young people or the young person here tonight which are listening to me. In our society today, in which way we have to be self-controlled? In each way, which are the ways we have to stop and say, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do this. Let's give an example at school. When your friends are inviting you after classes to go to see a movie, are you self-controlled by asking them what kind of movie we're going to see or watch? What's the background of it? What's the action we wanted to see? Can you say no when they're inviting you, or are you afraid they will call you chicken or something else? Or they'll ask you to try something new in a form of drug or a pill or any other things which can be very interesting for us at this age. Let's learn tonight that this young man, Titus, but not only him, and the other ones, like the sons of Rechabites. And of course, I'll remind you another example from the scripture. If you look in the book of Daniel, the first chapter, and I was so impressed and amazed about the way that king chose his people to serve him. And I want you to read at home and see how precisely he picked the people he wants to serve them. Because he was interested in the best. He didn't choose anyone from the people of Israel when they took him over. He didn't choose the one who are, let me give you an example, lazy. He chose the best, the smartest, the best looking people. And the first thing he did for them was this one, to change their name. So the people will not recognize them by their roots. Remember Thursday night when Jonah had to go, and he was a Jew, and he did go to the Assyrians to conquer them, to tell them about the prophecy. God told them that people knew he was because he was a Jew and the other ones were not. In this case, the king changed their name and gave them the names which the people of that time of the world in Babylon, they used it for them. But they choose the best. And when they choose the best, after this decision came, if you want, the fire, the temptation, the trial for them. They were the ones who were tempted to eat everything. They said, the king wants to feed you the best way in our traditions. And the Bible says, in the first chapter of Daniel, that they give him wine, meat, bread, and other things which were open there for them to eat. But the test came to an end for them because they stood up. There were four of them. And they stood up and they said to the persons who were in charge to give them food, they tell them, try us. We come from a different land. We have different rules. We have different examples, if you want. We have different models by what we continue or make decision in life. Try us for 10 days and give us only vegetables and see if we look different than the other ones. And then you'll do whatever you please. Did they pass the test? Yes, they did. I would like to ask you tonight, maybe when you say first no, you're gonna face people looking to you in a different way. not being friend anymore with you, not loving you anymore, not considering you cool anymore. But after 10 days, you will be the one who is successful. You will be the one who knows what's best for you. Let's look forward in the Word of God tonight. And I like so much verse 7, which says, "And do yourself, and you and yourself must be an example to them by doing good deeds in every kind, of every kind." Titus tells the young people what to do, but then he says, "Look at me. I want to set an example for you. I'm going to teach you. And in everything you look and you see in me, I want you to see that has to be true, real, has to have only the truth in it, and then you're going to follow what I said." Isn't hard in our days to be an example in everything, but we can. By the way, I don't know how many of you got the chance. We spoke this morning when we talked together and we studied from the Word of God, the doctrine of God for those who wanted to get baptized. That on Thursday night after we left from here at the service, by the time we got home, I look at the news, ABC News, for those of you who probably watch with me, you'll follow what I'm going to tell you tonight. And right after the news, there was a very interesting subject which catch my ear and my eye, so we stay a little bit longer to watch it. It was a very hot topic for the Americans, and not only. And this was a topic which was presented on national television on Thursday night. Does Satan exist? This was a question which came out. And in Seattle, they rented a church where they invite 4 people to prove about what they believe and if they believe that the Satan exists. And there were 4 people invited there. There was a pastor. There was an ex-escort prostitute. There was a physician, an Indian physician, and also was a casting of devils called black person, a preacher. What was very interesting for me, and I watch it, and I probably you can still see it online if you want to go and search at home, because for those of us which understand English, it's easier, and we use the computer as a usual day and every day for everything we need to get information for. And I do challenge you to see this. Once they start the subject, and everybody had to say yes or no, they do believe in Satan, that he exists or no, the answer was different. 2 of them were yes and 2 of them were no. And of course, this morning when we talked about it, we read from the Bible, and we clarified that we know our part. But was amazed that a person who was used to pray, this was really taught me, and I was determined to watch it till the end of it. A person who used to pray for people who had demons, he said, "No, they're not. It was just an imagination or understanding of me, but if I don't have anything to do with it, it doesn't mean that it exists." And that woman, which was an escort before, she said, "There was a time in my life when I didn't know what to do. I didn't have God in my life. And every single day I was tempted by Satan to do whatever he wants me to do. Till one day when I met a person and he told me about Jesus Christ, that he can change my life. He can make me different." So I do believe that Satan exists. Maybe we believe that we don't believe that he exists because we don't see him anymore. We think we don't see him anymore. And his appearance is different than when we think about it. But I wanted to challenge you, look at home and read in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, from verse 13 to 17, including verse 17. And you'll find out how he is presented. We talked 2 Fridays ago at the youth services that he appears as an angel of light. This is the devil who I'm talking about. Satan, he's the one who appears to people as an angel. Does Satan exist? Of course he does. That's why Jesus Christ came. And the teaching of the scripture is to destroy his work. Praise be to God for that. And we're here tonight because we believe that he's the only way for our salvation. Praise be to God for that also. And another thing which I would like to talk about tonight, it's verse 8. Let your teaching be so correct that it can be criticized. Then those who want to argue will be ashamed because they won't have anything bad to say about us. When they will see the way you are as an example, when they will see the way you live, the sound of your speech, if you like, the way you dress, the way you set examples, the way you take decision, will bring for the others. And one day will come when they cannot say nothing because they look at you. When Titus is sent on this island on Creta to talk about it, the all kind of people there, there was unbelievable to see how they were living their life. And if you like, you can read with me tonight the way they were. Look at verse 12, the second part that says, the people of Crete, all of them are liars. They are cruel animals and lazy gluttons. This is true. So rebuke them as sternly as necessary to make them strong in the faith. They must stop listening to the Jewish myth and the commands of people who have turned their back on the truth. Everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving. Their minds are the consequences of what they are. Such people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. I'd like to close tonight and put you this question. Are we on Sunday believers of God, and Monday by the way we live something else? If I will meet you in a different place on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, where you do not expect to see me or me to meet you, how will you react? Are we a living Bible for the other people around us? Of course, you heard probably, or you read about Miss O'Hara, this very famous atheist, person who doesn't believe in God, who influence our government to take prayer out of school. On the last days, when somebody got their hands on one of her journals, she was written like this: I think my life is going away, but the things which are consuming me is that I'm a lonely person, that nobody loves me, that I'm no use for anybody anymore. And when I read this, on reflection, I need to be loved. I thought how real this is for a person who doesn't have God, who doesn't felt in their heart the love of God to be with them always. As we grow in each aspect of our lives, we take decisions. And when we finish where we start, it's what we're going to make us make the next step. Maybe you're about to finish or graduate from school, and now you still study or love this word of God, but many, when you go there, you'll forget about it. I wanted to remind you tonight, if you want to be successful, if you want to be the best, if you want to influence somebody else, this is the word of God, the only one who can help you, the only one who can keep you away from sin, the only one who can make you make the best decision of your life by following Jesus Christ. The rest, it's nothing. You can change the world. You can maybe able to do miracles and signs, but if you don't have Christ, you'll die, or you'll be like O'Hara, lonely, without God, without power. May God help us to be different in this world. Amen.
Sperăm din inimă că prin mesajul biblic pe care tocmai l-ați ascultat, Dumnezeu a atins sufletul dumneavoastră. Vă încurajăm să reveniți alături de noi pe www.betani.cc sau pe www.bisericabetania.com pentru următorul mesaj. De asemenea, vă invităm să vizitați și să folosiți în funcție de nevoile dumneavoastră resursele site-ului Bisericii Betania. Dacă aveți nevoie de rugăciune sau de ajutor în înțelegerea scripturilor, vă invităm să ne scrieți la adresa de e-mail luigi@betani.cc. Până data viitoare, când ne vom închina și vom studia Biblia împreună, ne rugăm lui Dumnezeu să vă binecuvinteze viața, familia și viitorul.